transition from Perry Mason to Star Trek, three television shows, and now on to Falcon Crest. My guest today, Carl Held. I'm going to go out on a limb and saying he's the last surviving male cast member of the Perry Mason TV program, aired from 57 to 1966, and he was on for maybe straddling two seasons, and he played a defendant, and then he played the grandson of somebody, and then they took that character as David Gideon, and he became a legal eagle, an assistant to Perry Mason, and we're back with my guest, Carl Held. Carl, did the character David Gideon, that was a TV creation, that wasn't part of the original characters from Earl Stanley Gardner, do you know?
That is correct, absolutely.
And do you think, I went online, tried to research that, and some people were chiming in and saying, well, maybe they were going for a younger demographic, trying to, you know, create someone, you know, you were a guest as this character, and how did it come about that they called you back and said, hey, we're going to create this little slot for you?
Well, I wasn't behind the scenes to know, you know, what their reasoning was, but I do think that getting a younger character into the cast was an attempt to attract some of the younger audience out there, which in the long run, in my opinion, was a mistake.
Why?
And the reason I say that is that the show was on, when was it? It was on 8:30 on Friday nights or Saturday nights or something. And, you know, teenagers were out in the back seats of their Chevys in drive-in theaters at that time. They were not at home watching television.
Good point. So the whole demographic...
The demographic wasn't... They just didn't have younger people watching the show, period. And so the attempt to attract younger people, I don't know how that was supposed to work. But I think that was part of the deal. And I don't know if they had that idea germinating, you know, for some time before. But when I did my first show, what was that, Case of the Angry Dead Men or Grumbling Grandfather? I forget which one. It was Gloria Talbot was a guest star on that, and she was my sister or stepmother, so I forget. Anyway, I did a very nice job on that show, and they liked it, and that triggered them go ahead with the idea of getting a new character, getting the character onto the show. And I remember I left Hollywood and I went back to New York because Sarah was in, at that point it was Goodbye Charlie, rehearsing, and I went back there to spend time with her and travel around with a bunch there. And they tracked me down in Philadelphia and said, they want you out there for Perry Mason. I said, what? And they had offered me a deal to do two episodes as a new character, David Gideon. And if those episodes worked out, if they liked that, then they would execute an option. They would option me to be in, I think it was 6 or 7 out of 13, with an option every half season or something to pick up or drop. And so I came right out here and did the first of those two. And we never did the second one. They picked up the option right away and put me to work immediately in the series as David Gideon.
And my guest is Carl Held. As you just heard, he played David Gideon. He was on Star Trek and Falcon Crest. You were correct. Your first appeared in an episode, The Case of the Angry Dead Man. And then you appeared David Gideon as the Case of the Grumbling Grandfather.
And yes, that was with Otto Kruger, I believe.
Unbelievable, these actors. And so then you left thinking that was it. It was an appearance. And you came back.
Yeah.
And you came back. So tell me, I'm sure you have no idea why they didn't, or do you have a guess as to why they didn't continue with the character?
Well, I could only hypothesize on that, and my guess is, one, if they wanted to attract a younger audience, I wasn't accomplishing that. My fan mail was not extraordinary. I don't think I was very good in the part, but I have to say this. It was a dull part, and I did nothing to liven it up. I really blew it. Now, I look back, and I see it, and some people say, oh, that was all right. It was okay. But you know what? In the long run, it was boring, and it didn't create any stir. And when the same situation came along, this is decades later, for Falcon Crest, when they hired me to play in two episodes, I brought something to that immediately, and bingo, sparked them, and they wrote my character and kept me in for 55 episodes, whereas I did not do that with the Perry Mason thing. Now, in my own defense, the part was dull. There was nothing exciting about it.
Yeah, I mean, how are you going to turn that into an angry young man now that you're an angry old man?
But anyway, but the point is that I did not bring anything to it. But in the long run, the entire concept was not the best idea. It was something that just I don't think would have succeeded, even if I had been fantastic in the part. I would not have attracted younger people because they just weren't at home to watch the show anyway.
Very, very interesting. As a matter of fact, I have a little short segment with you. We can hear your voice in 1961. We can hear your lovely wife, Sarah Marshall. We can hear Raymond.
Oh, yes, that was the case with the Meandering River or something like that.
And it's very real estate related. It's called The Case of the Roving River, but it's about...
Roving River, yeah. With J. Pat O'Malley was in that, Sarah Marshall, yes.
I love the way you throw these names around.
Roy Rogers' estate in Victorville, California. It was lovely.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable that you can throw these names around like it was yesterday. It was only 62 years ago or 61 years ago, and you're throwing it around
I have to say I'm grateful that my mind is still working. You know, and I do brain exercises of all things, not just physical exercises. You know, there is such a thing to exercise our brain and keep them going, keep it going, and... what's it called? Brain plasticity. It's a lovely book. People who are listening might want to check that out.
Well, depending on how much do you drink alcohol, I know that's supposed to kill brain cells.
I do, but occasionally, you know, no big deal.
And how about smoking cigarettes? That was a question I was going to ask you before we play this clip.
Character. I was pretty stupid there for many years, and I did smoke. And I probably smoked for about, almost everyone I knew smoked when I was growing up. My dad smoked. And I started when I was 16, and I went on for about 35 years smoking and finally kicked it. I did it the slow way. I didn't go cold turkey.
But your character didn't smoke. Your character, David Gideon, didn't smoke. Everybody on Perry Mason was smoking, like chain smoking.
People on television smoked all the time, you know, didn't know what to do with their hands, you know, so we'd light up, you know.
Well, that's a good question. Now, they didn't have Raymond Burr smoking at the beginning. Paul Drake, William Hopper smoked like a chimney. Barbara Hale, too ladylike, she never smoked. But all of a sudden, they started showing Raymond Burr smoking cigarettes. But do you remember, when you watch these Perry Mason episodes, you just watch his hands, and his hands are clenched together and pulsating. He doesn't stop moving his hands.
My goodness, now I didn't notice that. No.
You'll have to log in. All right, let's play this clip, from The Case of the Roving River with Carl Held as David Gideon, and we'll hear his lovely wife, Sarah Marshall.
Unfortunately, your deed is ambiguous on the key issue.
That's Perry Mason.
It doesn't say whether we're dealing with a meander line or a boundary line.
Meander line?
Well, when you survey public land bordering on a river, instead of defining each twist and turn of the river, the surveyor picks two prominent points, or monuments as they call them, and marks the course of the river between those two points as a straight line or a meander line. David, you've looked over the documents. What's the disparity between the river and the survey line?
The river is more than 300 feet from the survey line.
That's Carl.
There's no secret about that, Perry. That 300 feet was mainly marshland when the river was
surveyed. That's Sarah's uncle.
Since that time, the Rodero River has dried up a bit and moved a little. That's all.
The river was my boundary. Since it's dried up or moved away, does that mean that the new dry land can be sold? It doesn't belong to me?
Oh, no.
That's Sarah Marshall.
You see, the California Civil Code provides that when there is accretion, the forming of new land by natural causes, The new land still belongs to the original owner of the riverbank.
It's very legal and complicated. What do we do?
So, do you remember that scene?
Pardon?
Do you remember that scene?
I do, vaguely. I remember, yeah. I remember the location, and I remember, you know, visually, I can still picture it all.
You know what I should do is we should transcribe it and then have you redo your lines as an angry man. And when Sarah Marshall says, well, what's the difference? You could start, like, scolding
Listen,
her.
And if I could go back and redo parts of my life, I probably would, you know. But there is no going back. We've done it. You know, that's it. You know, we're stuck with it.
Well, it was so when you're filming this show, of course, television was in its infancy, and Perry Mason, I've read, you know, created for shows to come, Law and Order, and they just breaking new ground, but they were doing it for the first time, and it was, boy, there was a lot of jump cuts and little mistakes that I watch, and they were just, you know, when they broke a scene, how well did you get to know Raymond Burr during these your stay there?
Fairly well. Ray was friendly, and he had a lovely sense of humor. He was playful, a little bit of a tease. I remember once, he broke out a pack of Lifesavers or some candy or whatnot, and he was just handing, and people were taking a little bit here or there, and you know, I joined the group, and he said, no, not for you. I thought, okay, fine, you know. So we dissolve, and we go later in the day. Anytime I looked over at him, he'd reach into his pocket and pull out these candies and very elaborately take one and put with an exaggerated gesture up to the ceiling and drop it down into his mouth so I could watch that, you know. Just, you know, reminding me that I wasn't going to get any.
You know.
So but the worst part was, when I was shooting a scene later on and they're doing a close-up of me, they had the camera on me, and he was off stage doing lines, feeding me, you know, doing his part of the scene. And what does he do? He reaches into his pocket and he pulls out the candy with the exaggerated gesture, you know, to put in his mouth. And I just break up laughing on camera, you know, I can't go. So that's what he was like, you know. He was delightful, actually, just delightful.
That's so good to hear. I did read that he played practical jokes, and they started saying that he played a lot of practical jokes on Barbara Hale. Did crazy things, filled her dressing room with flowers, and one time took all of her possessions out of her dressing room.
Well, I didn't know about that. I missed all of that. But absolutely, you know, he had, as I say, he was playful. And so it made for a very pleasant atmosphere. You know, it wasn't tense and uptight kind of thing. It was loose and casual and relaxing and nice atmosphere in which to work, you know.
Well, I think a lot of people might be surprised to hear that. My guest is Carl Held. He was in Perry Mason for almost a part of a season playing the Legal Eagle.
Yeah, we did about 12, 13 or something like that episodes altogether, I think.
Back in 1961. And I believe is probably the last surviving male cast member from that television series. I check every episode I watch. I look up the different actors. So many of them passed away so young. And sadly, the main cast of the characters, Hamilton Berger, William Talman, died right after the series ended. Lieutenant Arthur Tragg, Ray Collins, he died the year before the season ended. They had to pull him. But thankfully, Barbara Hale, a lovely woman, I think she was born 1922. My mom was born 24, and Raymond Burr at least lived long enough to keep the show going. But it's nice to hear that he had this crazy sense of humor, because his character was so serious and almost dark like.
Uh-huh. Right, I agree.
But what about Paul Drake? What was he like off camera? William Hopper.
I didn't spend much time with Paul. We chat, you know, if we were in a scene together or something, you know, we chat while standing around a little bit. And I do recall that he was originally intended to be Perry Mason, and when they tested him for the part, they decided against him.
I read
for
that
some
too.
Reason. But then they kept him and made him, you know, the character that he was.
Yeah, that's an interesting footnote. I did read that he was going for that role, and yeah. Raymond Burr was going for the role of Hamilton Burger, but as soon as Earl Stanley...
Oh, I didn't know that. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Here's an interesting side note that's just interesting, that Sarah Marshall's stepfather was an agent, a theatrical agent, and among the actors he had Clark Gable, Carol Lombard, Raymond Burr was one of his clients.
Wow, that's an interesting footnote.
You talk about six degrees of separation, you know.
Well, he's going to be my guest next week.
Saying that my stepfather-in-law was Raymond Burr's agent.
That's pretty good. When did he pass? Probably.
Well, it's all ingrown in Hollywood. Sooner or later, everybody's related to everybody else, or know each other through somebody, you know.
Gotcha.
It's just amazing.
What about Barbara Hale? Did you have any much interaction with her?
Yes, and I told her so. That I got onto the show and I said that, I mean, I was in awe of her. She was a pinup of mine. And I told her that. I said, I don't know. Here I am. I've got a pinup picture of you. You know, I hung up on my locker when I was in the Army. And I thought, oh, God. But that's how I was all my life. Once I got into the business, it was jaw-dropping for me. I was suddenly among people I've been watching on television. Or Sarah took me to a Broadway party once, and I met Truman Capote, I mean, Ethel Merman, all these people. And I had to keep my mouth shut, you know, because my jaw wanted to drop. And I'd be on the phone after every party and calling my parents, saying, you won't believe who I just met. You won't believe who I just met. You know, so I understand fandom, you know, because that's how I was like that. I mean, just, I couldn't believe I was. Here I was working among these people that I had been looking up to and watching on television or on stage. I mean, it was just an amazing way to get into the business. And just amazing. And I don't think I've ever lost that kind of wonder. It was like I was in a movie in England called Hitler, The Last 10 Days. And who was the star? Alec Guinness. He played Adolf Hitler.
Oh, I love him.
I went to for lunch in the cafeteria, and I was wandering around, and I couldn't find a seat. And Alec Guinness was sitting at a table alone. He said, oh, Carl, why don't you sit down here? I said, what? I sat down and had lunch with Alec Guinness.
Oh, that is terrific. And this is back in the 60s or 70s?
This was in the 70s, yeah. You know, so, I mean, my whole career I've had incidents like that, and I look back and I say, whoa, what happened? Who would have thought, you know?
A guy from Jersey City, New Jersey, born in 1931.
Yeah, a blue-collar kid, you know, what? You know, just, I can't believe it.
Well,
and I look back and I still wonder, what an incredible life I've had. But I enjoyed it and appreciated it as it was happening. This is not looking back and saying, oh, I wish I'd known that. I knew what was happening, and I understood it.
And happily, you shared almost your entire life with your lovely wife and actress Sarah Marshall, mm-hmm. and that's a terrific love story. 55 years.
Oh, boy, I'll tell you. Yes, indeed. That was something.
And she was, you know, I mean, I don't know. Did you guys ever compete and decide who did more TV and who was the more famous?
No, we didn't care about that. And she had no ego about that whatsoever. She grew up with money, fame all around her. She knew all the famous people and grew up with them all. She didn't care about money, showing off, possessions. She was so down to earth and so real. And because of her, I didn't go bananas when I became successful. I kept grounded. She helped keep me grounded just by being who she was.
It sounds like the best role you ever played was Sarah Marshall's husband.
Yep.
My guest is Carl Held. And we're going to take a commercial break. He, I believe, is the last surviving male cast member from the 1957 to 1966 Perry Mason television program. He shared a life with actress Sarah Marshall. You can Google both of them and see all the work they did, and did a lot of work back in England when they went for a year or two and stayed for 12 years. We just got one short segment, very short segment left with my guest, Carl Held. Stay tuned. You'll be right back.